project design constraints, improvement of membership participation, and the improvement of the regulatory environment. The expected outcomes of the intervention are in the medium to long term, to medium term, CPA members will receive reasonable guidance and support where required. The overall institutional arrangements of CPAs are strengthened through effective monitoring and enforcement of compliance measures under the law. Greater clarity to members of substantive CPA rights and improved levels of accountability between members and their leadership. CPA.
Welcome, Deputy Minister. We did receive your apology. Can you have a seat here? Not so.
CPA governance structures and practices will comply with the constitutional standards. CPA property will then get used productively and sustainably, primarily for the benefit of the CPA members. The department is currently reviewing the support program to land reform beneficiaries. An integrated financing or funding model for agricultural support, which incorporates a producer support model, is currently being finalized through the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform. Engagements are also being held with sector departments mobilizing for support to those CPAs that own land where the land use is not of an agricultural nature. An example of that is where, for instance, forestry or conservation is being practiced. While the funding strategy is being finalized, support is provided to CPA through development grants approved in terms of Section 42C of the Restitution of Land Rights Act and Section 10 of the Provision of Land and Assistance Act and Section 4 of the Extension of Security of Tenure Act, Section 26 of the Labor Tenants Act. The department is also developing an information management system to manage information relating to CPA. This system will, amongst the following, do the following. It will electronically capture and update CPA information. It will provide for the electronic registration of CPAs and allocation of system-generated unique registration numbers. It will upload all relevant documentation against individual CPAs. CPA property will be able to be shown on a map, and the system will be able to generate a report according to the filters that will be provided. Can I hand over to my colleagues to talk to the cooperative?
Members, if you allow me, in the interest of time, I can only talk in terms of the number of agricultural cooperatives that we have. We have about 2,400 cooperatives, agricultural cooperatives, which are also recorded and challenged in terms of sustainability and in terms of compliance with the regulation. So the issues that were identified in terms of the compliance is the capacity within the cooperative. The capacity that was identified is some lack of skills, management expertise.
My apology, Chair. The document that we busy with on cooperatives, because I've got CPA in front of me, we have the document.
And I'm still talking to that now. I'm highlighting in terms of them being able to be sustainable, there are challenges that are highlighted, which are linked to their skills and their management, inclusive of financial resources that they do not have. Yeah. So that's how we record the compliance levels. The other thing that was identified in terms of compliance is that they do not comply with the tax regime, submission of annual returns to the companies and intellectual property commission. So those are the challenges. However, the department is working now on the intervention to assist them. Some of them are aligned with the CPA, and what we can emphasize on is the training in terms of capacity because of the challenges that were identified. So we will be looking at capacity development program to improve their technical and operational efficiency. And we also would want to encourage our cooperatives to possibly establish the financial institution or be linked up to cooperative banks for lending. That's the additional information that I'd like to speak to in terms of compliance and sustainability. Thank you.
Maybe in your slide, did you agree? All of us, we are from the provinces. We want to know, for in your 3,400 cooperatives, how many are there in Limpopo, how many are in Northwest? Did you categorize them?
No, Chair, it's not categorized in terms of the presentation today, but we do have a database that we can possibly make it available ASAP.
On that point, I think I'm complete our presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now I'll give the members. Oh, welcome, Madhuki. We told that you were welcome. Honorable Smith, Honorable Slute, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Bibi, Honorable Mandongeni, Honorable Matiki.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, I want...
Before you start, Honorable Members, did you see the Deputy Minister? The Deputy Minister, he came to the meeting to, he wanted to sit in the meeting, but while he was there, the Deputy President called him, he's going to join the Deputy President, doing something for the Deputy President. He apologized for that.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, when we go to page 20, where we've got the layout of the CPAs per province, because I think one of the main reasons why we're sitting here is that, and we can acknowledge that there is a serious problem, both with the CPA model and the cooperatives, as mentioned by the presenter also, you know, decision-making that is, that's got a lot of processes and it takes a long time, you know, to make decisions and all of that. And the functioning in total. So I want to know, in terms of these figures that's registered CPAs, how many of them are actually functional and how many of them are dysfunctional, because that will give us a good idea of the extent of the problem. And I think that's why we're sitting here, is to interrogate specifically the model and, you know, to ask the difficult questions that goes with it. So I want to know, actually before I go to that, on page, sorry, I just need to get to now 36. Pardon? No, not in conclusion. On page 37, it
says that the department is encouraging agricultural cooperatives to participate in the establishment of the cooperative financial institution with the aim of establishing a rural development bank. Now, I want to understand what's going to be different between the rural development bank and the current land bank and the mandate of the land bank. Because I think, you know, there's supposed to be a mandate from the land bank as well. So why are we encouraging the establishment of an additional institution instead of, you know, making sure that that institution is working? Then, in terms of the CPAs, is it the correct vessel for land reform? Is it the correct model? Because we just heard now that there is a problem with decision making. There's a lot of infighting that we are aware of and so forth, you know, amongst communities. Isn't there better ways in which to establish that these rightful claimants have access to land with secure title or tenure? And where there is dysfunctional CPAs, what is the alternative for individuals who want to continue with, you know, to operate on the land that is available without being interfered with from other individuals that is currently part of the CPA? So basically, what is the options for individuals to actually take ownership of their part of what is owned by the group? Because obviously the group system is problematic, because we've got, as we know, you know, we've got different views as individuals, and people tend to disagree, and then conflict come, and we also know of certain, you know, corrupt activities that's also taking place where few individuals are grabbing everything for their own benefit and then excluding the rest from that. So, I mean, if I can give you an example, and I've been to this place farm many times, is the Makgoba Tea Estates. So it's a classical example. And there's been intervention after intervention after intervention that costed hundreds of millions of rands to the state. Then my other question is, in terms of the funding of these interventions and the spending on CPAs and cooperatives, which policies or regulatory frameworks are being used to actually make sure that there is direction in terms of how spending is taking place? So where do you say, now I give money, and I give so much money, and what is the conditions? What is the outcome that we want? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't help we throw, you know, money on a fire and it keeps on burning. We want a certain outcome from it. So how does the department go about to make sure that when money is spent, that there is a fruitful outcome at the end of the day? I think I'm going to leave for the other members also to submit their questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just questions regarding the co-ops. So I just need to get to my page. Yes, questions regarding the co-ops. Why has the department not been able to improve access to markets and financial support to cooperatives? And it has been well documented already that as reasons for cooperatives to struggle. And then on the CPAs, and thank you for our content advisor to alluding to this, has the department considered any alternative model or organizing land reform beneficiaries in order to secure land tenureship or tenure ownership at the individual or family level? If so, what are the reasons for persisting with the dysfunctionality of CPAs? And then it's actually sorry that the minister couldn't be here because this is more a political question or ideological question, but it does have administrative issues. If I'm not mistaken, the CPA Act basically gives, I think it's Article 6 of the Constitution, personal community whose tenure of land is legally insecure as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices and so forth, and then Part 9 says Parliament must enact a legislation referred to in Subsection 6, that's that one. The whole issue of expropriation without compensation, and I don't want to go into the debate regarding whether we should or we shouldn't, but for expropriation without compensation to be able to be implemented, we actually need to get rid of Section 25. So my question is, what is being done to ensure that the rights of CPAs, which is founded on the fundamental right to have property, to ensure their rights? And have these CPAs been informed of what will happen if Section 25 as a whole is get rid of, scrapped, because then nobody has any property rights. So CPAs actually then don't have any rights. So what's being done to inform them of what the implementation will affect, how it will affect them as CPAs? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the presentation. Chair, my question is on challenges. I want to check with the department that does the department have any plan in place to address the underlying challenges such as underfunding and lack of special support to CPA. If yes, can the details answer? If not, why? Chair, the second question is on Land Bank. Can the department expand on the rationale of Rural Development Bank? Because it looks like the bank is seen as a vehicle to provide loans, borrowers without checking the surely of borrowers. The third one and last, Chair, I want to check with the department that which department program will fund the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, and where will staff originate from it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation. My first one is slide 20, the one that was asked by Honorable Smith. Probably, Chair, it will be in order to assist the presenters. I can see even fuel also the departments are here moving forward so that we don't come here and waste time and fighting about something that can be avoided. The issue of the distinctive nature of the house we're in. This is the select committee, then we've got the portfolio committee in the National Assembly. Our interest is more of provincial interest. So what captured best what we're supposed to be doing today is your slide 20. That is why when Honorable Smith and the chair, when you concluded, she asked that don't you have any slides that will show the issue of cooperatives in the provinces? So your slide 20 should be your basis in future so that we avoid duplication, because sometimes you can even ask yourself, what is the difference in terms of what we're trying to do and what you might be doing in the portfolio committee? The difference is that Honorable Bibi will say, no, I'm representing KZN. He will say he's representing Free State. He will say Limpopo. Ngwenya will say Gauteng. He will say Limpopo. He will say Eastern Cape. I'll say Mpumalanga. And once you present a slide like that one, that's where our interest is. And if out of that slide is the one that will make us to have much more time dealing with it, one, in terms of the reality of, let me use Mpumalanga because I'm from Mpumalanga, then I can see that we've got a lot of them, more than any other province in Mpumalanga, it's 400. But the next obvious question is, are they functional? What's happening with those CPAs that we have in Mpumalanga? So looking at the slide and not getting the detailed information, that will make me to represent the province and understand the situation. You are raising the issue of the challenge of the relationship between CPAs and traditional leadership. I don't think it's a general problem. Probably there are some good practices in some of the pockets of the country. And it was going to be good for us to have a sense and understand where there is that good relationship so that you can assist those that are struggling so that they can learn. Even in a province, you might find that in Region A, there might be some good practices that can assist Region B. So those are the issues that I think will go a long way to assist us. My second question, besides the advice and the request that in the future probably that's what we have to work on, and if maybe there's a need for us to get in as members of the committee to assist you so that when you come here, we are more focused and not just blame you after we've assisted you. It's the human capital and the financial resources required from the department to administer this issue of CPA. Is that available in the department? Let's get a sense so that we understand the real challenge. And I missed the detailed plan of dealing with the challenge of the traditional leadership. If we can have a plan, that how do you intend to address that one? Because it's an issue that we have raised and that we are aware of as we're coming from different provinces. Do you believe CPA is a correct vehicle to assist in this challenge of land reform? Your understanding and as people that are directly dealing with it on daily basis will give us a sense of understanding what is facing us. My last one. If there's a breakdown of relationship between CPAs and it has reached a point where you see that the previous leadership and the current one they can't work, but all of these people, they are entitled to be part of the very same land we're talking about. What is the final way or best way of dealing with such a situation? The last one is the issue of language. You raise the issue of language, that the language is complex. What is making it possible that if I'm in Eastern Cape, you have the document simplified in Xhosa so that it's more relevant for the people? If I'm dealing with people that are speaking Afrikaans, I have it in Afrikaans. If I'm from Mpumalanga, I get it in Siswati, because from my village, even an old person that can speak English, but they always read the Bible in their own language. And it's an indication that if that thing can be done in a language that is relevant to them, it means it can go a long way to assist those people. Because if you go to KwaZulu-Natal, you get a person without the education, but that person can be able to read the Bible and understand it and interpret it correct. And once you give them a document that is in a language that is more complex, then you are making it a little bit difficult. Thanks.
Now, thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from the department. Although we got the documents very late, but it's okay. I think other colleagues of mine, honorables, have covered me in some of the questions. The only thing that I'm going to do is to ask for my province. I'm from KwaZulu-Natal. And I know that there are so many CPAs that are disorganized. At the same time, the others are up and down, as you know. And as you know, there's a land dispute amongst the CPAs, independent trusts that we have, traditional leadership, in various traditional leadership communities, continue to become a challenge. And then what will be the role, again, of the province itself, since it's happening within the provincial jurisdiction, instead of waiting for the national to intervene? I'm sure that is the only one, because others have been covered. Thanks, sir.
You skipped the Honorable Ndongeni. No, fine. She will be coming.
I see I'm not welcome in this community. So, absolutely. Okay, Chen. I just want to ask, just, there's a challenge here. They said the entity not submitting the documents. What are the consequences if the entity does not submit the documents in time? Secondly, what has the department have done to help the entity? For instance, this year, it didn't submit the documents. And then next year, what the department have done? And any development strategy moving forward, since we have this challenge, so you have a strategy to say, okay, we have these challenges, and what can we do? Thanks, Chair. I'm covered. Other questions?
No. Thanks a lot. I think most of the issues that I wanted to raise is covered. But I'll just go to the issues of intervention in terms of training. You are saying you're going to train 900 CPAs, but if you look at the number there, it's 1,500. How did you prioritize? Did you prioritize in terms of dysfunctionality? And that 900 was not distributed, I think, Honorable Nyambia spoken to the issue. It's important that we see that out of that 900, Limpopo is going to receive this, because we represent constituencies so that when we go back, we're able to raise those issues. Because if you look at that number in the 900 and the functional CPAs, there is a gap of around 400 plus, which is still left there. The other issue is the issue of traditional leaders. Your presentation is also not clear in terms of which are the areas where there are common issues in terms of traditional leaders disputing the CPAs, and is there any debriefing that you do when you give CPAs their properties with the traditional leaders? Because conflicts always arise where the traditional leader is not aware. I'm a traditional leader myself, so I might not have challenges with that, but where the traditional leader is not aware that these are the people that have been given, you find that the department is briefing the CPAs, but briefing is not done to the traditional leader, so that the traditional leader is also aware that the CPA has been given this area, and this is the area of jurisdiction that they'll be managing so far. But other issues, I think, they are covered.
No, thank you, honorable members. Mine is on your slide 20. I've seen your CPA in the Northwest. We have 188. But when you go to compliance, it's only 10, those who are complying. What are you going to do? Because from, it means 188 and 10, only 10 are complying. It means the rest are not complying. What are you going to do? Do you have a plan to make sure that all these PPA are complying? And then the other one is just one for the traditional leaders. I'm covered about it. But make sure that you try to make sure that the traditional leaders and CPA, that intervention really is needed, because it's very huge, especially in the rural area. Yeah, no, that's all. And then you can.
My apology. I also want to ask, Chair, regarding the failed or the failing CPA, how many court cases are currently taking place around CPAs, and the disagreement in CPA. So how many of them are busy with court cases? And then I want to ask that you won't be able to give us today, but with a follow-up in writing, a full list of all the CPAs as well as the cooperatives as well, please. Thank you.
When you write it, you say this one, Northwest, that 10-year compliant, those are the 10 that are complying. Those are not complying, you must write them, even with your cooperative.
Thanks, Chairperson. Members who will be sharing the responsibility to respond to your question. But let me first take the one on access to markets and why are the cooperatives unable to meet or reach the market. The challenges that we have been informed of is the issue of quality standards, that some of the cooperatives are unable to meet the requirements of the market. Let me make an example. If Pick and Pay wants a specific chicken, and the cooperatives are unable to produce it to the specifics as required. So this is not only limited to national market. It also it includes the international market, which are more complicated in terms of the standards that are required and all the FBS issues that we have, sanitary and phytosanitary issues that the department has to negotiate with the international market. So the issue there have been identified that on government side is the inadequate extension support services. And it has been one of the areas that I have heard the minister speaking aggressively about it with us, that you need to strengthen and make an analysis in each province, what are the requirements for each province to be empowered. So it is under the unit, we call it FSP, the farmer support unit in the provinces. So each one, where there's a need for veterinary services, we have to advance that. So the issue now, we are able to look into what is the immediate challenge per province and address according to the needs of the provinces. At this point in time, we are not ready with the adequate extension services. However, the limited that we have, they are doing the best to stretch out to reach even the unreachable areas. The other issue that was recorded in terms of meeting the market needs is insufficient volumes that are produced. If a certain retailer needs a daily supply of a number of tons, and in one province, those cooperatives are unable to meet that required volume. So the challenge then is that the cooperative cannot enter into an agreement with the retailer that needs that. So those are the challenges that are known and recorded, and we are busy working on that. The other issue is producing without the market in mind. Some of the cooperatives are just producing because they have capacity, but there's no alignment as to if I have my product ready, where will I send it to? So that's also on government side linked to the support that we are to advance under the extension support services to ensure that the whatever is produced is linked to a specific market and is able to meet the required quality standards. The issue then of the actual management capacity within the cooperatives also has been raised, and it is a simplified one, because we do have a capacity that can that are already working on assisting the cooperatives on their development, on their business plans. First of all, is that does it make business sense for us to proceed with this business going forward? So that analysis is also being made, and there's already ongoing training in terms of the technical skills where the challenge has been identified. It is work in progress, we're not yet there, but the minister has is assertive about it that you have to go and do it, and it is in the place to be. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize for the delay that occurred as we're checking in. Chair, my name is Vela Mngwengwe. I work for the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. I temporarily hold the position of Deputy Director General for Land Tenure and Administration. There was a question asked about whether or not the CPA is a correct model. I'm going to answer in a wider way, Chair. when land reform started, there was the only forms of communal ownership that were there in law at the time would have been other commercial types of entities in the form of cooperatives or companies, or you registered trusts in terms of the Trust Property Control Act. There was a need to create a democratized form of land holding that would be regulated in terms of how it operates. So then, therefore, the CPA Act came into existence. The other issue is that when land reform started, it was funded through grants which were limited. For instance, during the pilot phase, communities would contribute 20% of the price of the land, and the state would fund 80%. What that did was, because people had pulled together their resources, they therefore needed an entity that would accommodate all of them. When that changed, land reform was funded through grants, which was at the time pegged at 16,000. Now, there was no land for 16,000. People had to club together to buy land, and that resulted in entities of this nature being required, because that was the only way in which they could have land. So that's the history of CPAs. Now, when we buy land under any program, be it restitution, the redistribution, or tenure reform, we are doing that to discharge a constitutional obligation. And we hoping that once land has been acquired, this entity has taken ownership, therefore the constitutional duty to redistribute or restore or provide secure tenure has been achieved. What we had not envisaged, which are new things that we have discovered along the lines, is that these entities that have been established, you could have your claim settled. You have applied for land in terms of a restitution claim, your claim gets settled. But by virtue of being a member of a body like a CPA, you could find that within the rules of the CPA has got the capacity to actually dismiss you from being a member. By dismissing you, you practically lose your security of tenure that you had by virtue of getting your land restored to you. So those are the types of dangers that may not have been envisaged that they would occur. But we've come to that reality. The nature of problems that you find in CPAs today do suggest that an alternative is required. There are instances where such alternative is possible. It's only that the conversation towards a different settlement model, because the settlement model is not necessarily about the CPA. The settlement model is about a restitution claim that is being dealt with. What settlement model is chosen at a time the claim is settled? What settlement model is chosen at the time you buy land for labor tenants? That is where these decisions are made. So there is a case for looking at family type of ownership. There is a case for looking at household type of ownership. But we haven't done much work in terms of developing that further. But the nature of problems that we discover in CPA do suggest that we need an alternative. There are a variety of issues why CPAs have got problems. Some of them my colleague has already spoken to, so I wouldn't want to go too much into it. There was a question whether on the spending on CPAs, as to what is the policy or regulatory framework. Spending takes two forms. I'm not sure which one was meant. There could be spending as a result of a CPA being funded in the cause of implementing a land reform project. They're spending at that level. The second form of spending that occurs is by virtue of the Director General's obligations to monitor compliance of CPAs. In the course of monitoring compliance, you're going to spend money either through mediation or through support that you must provide to make the entity functional. So that's spending. In relation to that type of spending, we rely on the provisions of the CPA Act. in relation to the other forms of spending that is given rise to by other programs of land reform, because for instance, restitution, you would have a section 42C of restitution that allows the commission to approve money for the development of the land that has been acquired. The same applies to other programs of redistribution, like one household, 1 hectare, and so on. So the spending therefore takes those different forms. So I think the member wants they are clear on which one, maybe that may have not been particularly responded to, we can come back to it. On the issue, Chair, of cases of CTAs that are currently in court, we do not have a database. We don't track how many cases there are in the sense of creating a database, though we do know of cases. There would be some other cases where there's litigation, but the department is not involved, as well as the department is not aware. But it's information that we can collect over a period that the committee can decide when does it want the information. It will be collected from scratch. We don't keep a database of litigation around CBA. Let me allow my colleague to take the other comments.
On the question of the number of CPAs that are functional and the number of CPAs that are dysfunctional, maybe I need to explain how do we classify the functionality and dysfunctionality. As I indicated in the presentation, there are certain things that the CPA is required to submit, or certain documents that the CPA is required to submit. You'll find that in certain instances, the CPA operationally, agriculturally, it is functioning. They are producing, everything is going according to the expectation of the members. But the shortfall is with regards to them then submitting the required documents to the department. Even if operationally they are functioning very well, but as long as they do not submit what they are supposed to submit, we then classify them as CPAs that are non-compliant, not necessarily meaning that operationally they are dysfunctional. And there are indeed those CPAs that are becoming dysfunctional as a result of the infighting that then leads to them not being able to produce anything because of the fight that exists between the members. So I think with regard to that also, we will be in a position to provide information around which CPAs are in production and which ones are not in production. And maybe I also need to indicate to the members that among the CPAs that exist, you will find that there are CPAs mainly that were established as a result of the settlement of the labor tenant claims, where you'll find that 5 families have been settled on 1 farm. But when you look at the mode of operation that exists on that particular farm, they are not operating as one single entity, although ownership is held jointly by the families. But operationally, they operate as individual families, each having its own head of livestock that is grazing on the land. So if you approach such a CPA to say to them, provide me with your annual financial statement, it becomes a challenge in the sense that they don't have a joint account. Each family, if it's a 5 families, each family will have its own separate business operation, if I may call it that. It will have its own separate business operation on the farm that is owned jointly by the families, but under the title of the CPA. So the issue of compliance, when we look at such instances, what the legislation provides for, if it's not met, then the classification is, with regard to what they are required to do, they are non-compliant. But operationally, you'll find that there is something that is happening. And then you'll find the real cases of dysfunctionality also within CPAs, where people are fighting, and as a result of those fights, they are not able to engage in any agricultural activity. Maybe I also need to talk to the issue of what then needs to happen in those instances where an individual wants to continue with the operation, with the farming operations, while the rest of the group has become dysfunctional. In those instances, it becomes difficult because, as the owner of the land, is the CPA. The CPA, in terms of the legislative framework, is required to take a decision in a democratic process for them to assign to pass the right to any individual that may be interested in operating individually, whether as a result of them entering into a disagreement with the CPA or some other type of arrangement that they may want to enter into. So the decision will still need to be taken by the CPA, whether that land has to be leased out to that particular individual or some other arrangement can be entered into, which maybe I need to also link to the amendment bill that we brought before this House in the past financial year, where, amongst other things, that legislation talks about a model that is almost similar to the sectional title model, where individuals within the whole farm, there will be areas or portions of the land that are for individual use. There will be those that can be assigned for the individual use of families that may want to be to engage in some enterprises there. And there will be those that have to be used communally. So depending on how the design of the project then happens, once that legislation gets signed into law, we may have the possibility of a family being able to operate on a portion of land that is owned by the CPA in its own right, separate from what is happening within the CPA. So that model will be almost similar to the model that I mentioned earlier, where labor tenants that are owning land under the umbrella of a CPA are operating individual household enterprises on land under titles of the CPA. Then, the issue of market, my colleague has responded to it. Then, the issue about what plan do we have as a department to address the lack of support to CPAs. In the past financial year, we have developed a strategy for CPAs, which amongst other things deals with the institutional arrangements and the alignment of support that needs to be provided to CPAs. Amongst other things that we will be dealing with in terms of that strategy, we are looking at a listing, the support of institutions of higher learning to assist us in the provision of capacity building, and we are looking at bringing in other stakeholders that may at the moment be operating in silos outside of the framework of the department, where they may be providing support to CPAs. We intend to harness that relationship and ensure that all the stakeholders that have got a role to play in relation to CPAs are brought under one umbrella, and the services that are then provided are streamlined to the CPAs. So on the issue, Honorable Nyambi, about the need for us to look at good practices that may exist in other areas. Indeed, it's a welcome proposal. We will look into that. We have instances where CPA coexist peacefully with the traditional leaders without any friction between them. So we might need to look at what is it that is working there that is not working in other areas, and then try to replicate what is working in those areas where there are challenges.
Just to add on that issue, we do have instances where traditional leaders are even members of executives of CPAs, but that's not really the issue. The issue is that in 2017, the traditional leaders, the National House of Traditional Leaders, together with the Chairperson's Forum, convened a meeting, an Indaba, where they took certain resolutions. One of those resolutions was that CPAs must not exist in communal spaces in areas that fall under the jurisdiction of traditional leadership. So that hasn't stopped just in those types of resolutions. There has been active confrontation of CPAs in those instances where traditional leadership are really objecting to existence of a CPA. So because this was a collective decision taken by a body of traditional leadership, it's going to be difficult within those spaces of cooperation that you have, because there seems to be a resolve to ensure that CPAs do not exist in areas that fall under leadership control. So that's where we are. Even as we sit here now, we have a summit being planned for traditional leadership to be held in October. A part of the expectation is that they want to know how far are we in amending the law so as to outlaw the establishment of CPAs in communal spaces, which of course would have certain constitutional implications. We will deal with it at that point, but what it does is that it causes confrontation at local levels between traditional leadership and CPAs.
Honourable members, you are fine?
Oh, you're not. Maybe, Chair, let's just summarize.
Okay.
What we are seeking to do, we are saying some CPAs could survive through training. But that training need not focus on CPA executives. You need to provide a land administration training throughout the membership of an entity so that you create the capacity of members to be able to hold their leaders accountable. And they will not be able to do so if they don't have a sense of what is expected of them as membership or as members of an association. So that is what we're looking at. And for that reason, we have engaged Universities South Africa with a view that universities, particularly in areas where we do have CPAs, do develop land administration curricula that we can fund where people can go. Though we understand that it's not everyone that might be interested, but we want to have a course developed in the language that is used in those spaces so that you could have general membership training. That's one part. The other part is that we've got our own weaknesses in that we do not have the capacity. There was a question asked. We do not have the capacity to monitor CPAs. It doesn't exist. We're still building that capacity. Part of the reason for the amendment that was brought before you was that we create offices of deputy registrars of CPAs in each province so that you decentralize the monitoring function to the level of a province. That's part of what we wanted to achieve. Unfortunately, we haven't got that come into that bill written into law yet. I know that you went through this house, and I'm not sure what happened after that. So that's part of the of what we intend doing. So that we are able to deal with the problems that we have around this case. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honourable Smith, Honourable Nyambi.
Thank you, Chair. It's a lot of information coming out that's helping us, you know, with direction as well. When the department started, explaining around whether CPAs are working or not, they basically mentioned that they are looking at alternatives and basically acknowledge that CPAs as it stands now is not a very good model and is actually not working. And that possibly family-based or household-based ownership as an alternative can be explored, but that not much has been done up to date to explore that specific alternative. So I want to know, is there plans from the department to actually start exploring those alternatives? Because we sit with a serious problem here that needs to be fixed and fixed quickly, because it is contributing to frustration of people. And we all know land is emotive and people are very emotional around it, and it is a long, dragged-out process. So it is important that we start giving attention. So it's unfortunate that we don't have, the politicians, the executive not here, because I would love to actually have a commitment from the executive on that, but I will direct it to the executive as well. The other thing is, in terms of the current CPA system, as well as cooperatives, what is the chance for or opportunity for someone who don't want to be part of it anymore to opt out, okay, without losing, or somebody want to get in to opt in? Because it's about individual freedoms, you know, that is enshrined in our constitution. So at this stage, as I understand, it's quite rigid in terms of when you're in, if you're out, you're out. I don't know if I misunderstand, please correct me if I'm wrong. So if you can just clear that to me, and then if there is no way of in and out, then how will the department actually ensure that that option is opened up for individuals? I am struggling with the issue around the tribal authorities, because if we go and look at the constitution, it says the tribal authorities is actually tribal leaders. It's not even authority. Tribal leaders have got roles and responsibilities, much different than government and members of parliament who've got duties and responsibilities. So I want to understand, you know, I know it most likely will not be with the department, but obviously it affects the department. So it should be with
with COPTA, you know, and with traditional leaders and cooperative governance. But I mean, what would you say is the roles and the responsibilities of these tribal leaders, but you know, in line with land and the ownership of land? Because there is a misperception out there that the land is owned by the tribal leader or the Khoshi or the Nduna, and the people are staying on the Nduna or the Khoshi's land, which is wrong. That's actually not the correct view. So yeah, just on that. Then, yeah, let me leave it there. Thank you.
Chair, one thing that we were able to achieve from the department today, they've given us a sense of the situation, the challenges, so now we're at a better position in terms of the understanding. I think Honorable Tute is the one that summarized it very correctly, that there are some ideological questions. And part of what was coming from the department, that I think they were fair with others assisting us, they explained that there's even a coming summit in October to deal with some of the issues, challenges that are being raised here. But what I wanted to submit, Chair, is for them not to make a mistake and exclude Parliament. When I'm talking about Parliament, I'm talking about both the portfolio and the select committee as a relevant stakeholder to be part of that summit, because it's trying to deal with the very same issues. Then the last part is the issue of the capacity. I mean, the department is honest with us to say there's no capacity to manage this thing. Then you will ask yourself a question that if there's a problem of capacity, probably that is why you have these very many challenges. But I'm of the view, Chair, that out of what was presented to us, even though there are some things that are missing in terms of the provinces that we represent in detailed form so that we can be assisted, so that we can assist the department moving forward. But what they have presented in terms of regulations and the issue of the summit, because for us to want to get to the terrain of Honorable Smith, especially when you deal with land, and whether we like it or not, traditional leaders have got a role. And I just ask myself a question, if they already met and taken any decision, right or wrong is neither here nor there. But the issue is that whatever decision that they have taken has got the implications in the proper functioning of what we're dealing with. So that is why I want to submit that at that level, as correctly put by Honorable Smith, that probably it would be advisable to have the relevant leadership of the department in dealing with the ideological questions and taking some of the issues forward so that we can assist instead of making it worse than it is. But where I'm seated now, I'm fine in terms of the information that was supposed to be provided to us. That's the point I wanted to make, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, yeah, my head is running. It's a very intense topic. So I'm glad that we're handling this, because it's something that needs to be solved. The question that I forgot about that I wanted to ask last is I've asked in terms of the policy that regulates spending towards CPAs, cooperatives, CPAs and cooperatives and all, because some of them are incorporated. And recapitalization and all of that. Which policy is in place in the department to regulate that specific spending? Because you need to have a framework to know that this is how what we're going to spend money on, how we're going to spend it, when we're going to spend it, what do we want from that spending? And that's specifically what I'm asking. So if you can just give me an answer on that as well, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you'll recall that the President had appointed an advisory panel on land reform and agriculture, which presented its report in July. And there was then a cabinet decision that relevant ministers whose functions were affected by the recommendations had to, within a period of 2 months, consider the recommendations and come back to say what is actionable, what is not, and therefore what is going to happen. We are at that stage yet. Part of the subject that we're discussing today, which is essentially a land tenure reform issue, is part of what the advisory panel made observations on and some recommendations. So we are working towards, one, we accept that not something needs to change in terms of policy. So as it stands now, we're working towards a policy on tenure reform as a whole, be it relating to CPAs, be it relating to communal tenure and everything. So in the context of that, we will have to reflect on the alternatives that that Honorable Smith is talking about. There's been a discussion with the minister about looking at those alternatives, and at least there is agreement. If the minister was here, would confirm that there is agreement that we have to look at those alternatives. But part of what can be done in the immediate is you've got CPAs that are not working as a consequence of various communities being brought into one in the context of a settlement of a claim. Those are issues that you've got to act now and go back and separate those communities. That is something that can be done now. So we have made particular recommendations with respect to certain areas in Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape where that is prevalent, where the conflict in CPAs is caused by the fact that those people simply cannot work together because they don't consider themselves to be a single group. So that's that. On the issue of opting in and opting out, constitution of CPA as generally, those that I've seen, they do provide for the possibility of a member to opt out of a CPA, but that possibility is envisaged in the situation where that member actually wants to leave the area, not just to terminate membership and still stay. So there is that possibility. The opting in is only applicable in two ways. The opting in the context of restitution claims is that during the settlement of a claim, there are instances where verification of claimants is not completed. And then provision gets made in the legal entity that takes land ownership that in the event of other members emerging in the future, they will be accepted in. The other instance would be your general growth within the membership, where people who were not of age have suddenly come of age and therefore qualify in the context of a constitution of a CPA to become members. That is the opting in. That is possible, that I know of. Chair, on the issue of the role and responsibilities of traditionalists, indeed, I think we may have to stray off it as officials because it's a much more political issue than we had imagined. Part of the demand that we've been confronted with is that traditional leaders have said they want the amendment of Chapter 12 and Chapter 7 of the Constitution. Those chapters deal with the role of traditional leaders and the role of local government. They have complained about how they were cheated during the constitutional negotiation process to have those chapters finalized and never revisited. So therefore, there is what they see is a need for the expansion of the role of traditional leadership as you see today, than what you see today. Part of that has been a demand to repeal the Special Planning and Land Use Management Act or to amend it to the extent that it will not apply in communal areas. So as I'm saying, it's a much more political discussion than we had imagined. If you can step back, you look at the Black Authorities Act, which created tribal authorities, regional authorities, territorial authorities, and then eventually which resulted into homelands, you'll see that traditional leadership at some point did perform some of the functions that are currently performed by local government. The argument that has been presented to us says, you have taken a lot from us through the sphere of local government. In addition to that, you are now encroaching on the area of land management. So that's the debate, that's the direction that the debate is taking. I think as one of the members observed, we do accept that there is a role to be played by traditional leadership on the issue of land administration. But that role cannot be completely absolute in the sense that you would have various tenure forms in communal areas and some of those forms may involve freehold. So but we will settle that discussion through policy, which we are in the process of developing. On the issue of spending, I think it's much clearer now. With respect to spending as far as it relates to project support or land development, indeed we used to have a recap and development policy, which is no more. We now have what we call land development policy, commonly known as LDS. But the colleagues sitting in front of you do not deal with that function. It's located in our land redistribution and development branch at the present moment. So we won't be able to take further questions that are deeper than what we can respond to now to say there is a land development policy that is used by the old Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to fund land development or to fund projects that we deal with, be it in land redistribution or be it in restitution. My colleague, I think, can deal with the cooperatives part of it. So that policy would allow the possibility of funding to a CPA to the extent that it is undertaking a land development venture that fits within the parameters of the policy. Chair, I think I've answered all of the questions that we asked.
Yeah, we are clarified by the department. Now we know when you go back to the provinces, we will know how to deal with the issues of the CPAs and traditional leaders and so on and so on. I just want to take this opportunity to thank the department for the presentation and the members for attending this meeting today. It was a very important meeting. But before I release you, department,
don't forget to send us the list of the cooperatives per provinces. NCPA per provinces, and which one is functioning, which one is not functioning. And then you must send them as soon as possible so that next week when you go home, you must be able to know which one you go or which one you don't. I think we are done with this meeting. I just declare this meeting closed. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honorable.